άστα να πάνε. Όσοι αγαπάνε δεν βρίσκουν ανταποκρίση. Άστα να πάνε, όσοι αγαπάνε δεν έχουν στάλα εγωισμό. Άστα να πάνε, γιατί πονάνε όπως εσύ, όπως εγώ. Άστα να πάνε.
Το μυστικό μου το σήκωσα εγώ, μονάχος μου μες στον κόσμο, σαν λουλουδάκι στο φως. Και με τα αγκάθι βελόνα γλυκιά του έπλεξα στεφάνι.
All right, on time at 11 o'clock, you are tuned to Grecian Echoes. And we have joining us Manny Frangidakis of 12 Points Wealth Management, along with Stamatis, if I'm not mistaken. Gentlemen, good morning. Και καλημέρα σας.
Καλημέρα.
Καλημέρα, Teddy. Καλημέρα, Manny. How are you?
Doing well. How are you two gentlemen doing today?
Well, you're doing great. You keep saying all the right things. I think people should pay very close attention. You called it the last month. You said that there will be a rally. Here we are. Even today, it looks Nasdaq is up right now, at least right now, over 1.2%. Nothing to sneeze about. I think the markets are looking at different companies. They're looking at earnings. They're trying to understand where this interest rate new trajectory is going.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Spot on. Yeah, this will be a busy week. You have a lot of tech earnings. That's what everyone is focused on, to see, how the Microsoft, Googles, Facebooks, and Amazons of the world are performing, in this higher interest rate environment. You had a release this morning from Coca-Cola. One of the things you're hearing in terms of headwinds out there for corporations in terms of earnings is what is, currency valuations doing, and what we call FX, right? With the strong dollar, is it limiting sales for U.S. enterprises? And even with the strong dollar, Coca-Cola, had a pretty nice beat this morning. So it seems like, yes, it's on top of mind for CEOs and CFOs, and it is a headwind and a concern, but it hasn't damaged their margins all that greatly. And, there's a lot of really good things that are flowing around right now.
I don't know if you have on the top of your fingertips the Coca-Cola results, but they were impressive.
Yeah, they were impressive, especially 16% year-over-year growth in an environment where everyone was talking about supply line issues, inability to get aluminum, and with FX intervention, how much would the strong dollar lower international sales? And we're holding up pretty nicely here, and I think the market is enjoying it. And the other thing that's occurring right now is you're getting some relief in the bond market. What people don't seem to realize is that the bond market is down significantly more year-to-date than the stock market is. So if we're up about 2 points here in the bond market this morning, this continues, you could have a rally going into the end of the year. And we're at the top of my trading range for the S&P 500, but I think that you could get to 4,000. And for anyone that was distressed earlier this year, that is great news, because for the last 2 months, while we were saying that things were getting on better footing, most talking heads out there were, putting S&P 3200 or 3000 out. I think that, yes, we're going to have some trouble in 2023, but I think for the most part in this year, the worst is behind us. And I think that we can get this rally to continue for the next 2 months.
Let me just interject just for 1 second. What I have found out, Manny, and obviously you've been pretty much spot on for quite a long time here right now, is how you predicted the time of the year. But it's historical. It's amazing to me that, it just always seems, what was it, the end of October, end of September, 2 weeks ago. It was 2 weeks ago. It was a lot of doom and gloom, and here we go, 2 weeks later, and kind of, there's a little sunshine shining through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, markets do one thing really well. They over-exaggerate and underestimate. and just like anything else that involves human beings, there's emotion.
Yep.
And there was a lot of emotion in the markets for the last couple months, as we talked about, you know, geopolitical tensions, as we talked about inflation, as we talked about, you know, how bad is this recession going to be? Well, guess what? Jobless claims aren't, you know, they're not happening. And where economists are now surprised at how tight and how strong this labor market is. And I believe that will continue to be a theme, not just this year, but next year. So there's a lot of beneficial things. And what people do is they try to take one recession and compare it to all recessions. Well, no recession is the same as another recession. And as much as people want to have that fear of, oh, capitulation and the market's cratering, well, corporate balance sheets are really strong right now. The consumer's balance sheet is really strong right now. Yes, we have a lot of debt, but it's sovereign debt. So there's a lot of things different about this present time than it was in 08, 09, than it was during COVID, you know, and we've had so many different, you know, life-changing events over the last 2 years that it's hard not to be pessimistic. But at this point in time, you know, you do have a number of things that should benefit this market. For example, you know, there's a window of buyback blackout that's just about to end. And they're projecting that there's going to be $1 trillion in buybacks authorized for the rest of this year. And that will equate to about $5 billion a day coming in on the buy side through the end of the year. So you're going to have a lot of tailwinds that are going to be
a lot of zeros.
Market support. Exactly. Exactly. You know, and it's going to continue to be, you know, how you're invested. Because, for example, we talk about Coca-Cola, but 3M today did not have a good print. You know, and they're not doing well. And GE did not have a good print. They're not doing well. So it's really going to depend on how you're allocated. Again, this is going to become a market of stocks, not a stock market. You can no longer rely on the index. It's already been proven that this year alone, active investing has surpassed passive investing for the first time since 2008.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the bond market. Obviously, the, you know, conventional wisdom is interest rates go up, bonds go down. So, do you still see more opportunity in the stocks than in the bonds?
I think that for the most part, if you're dealing with dry capital, you still want to hide out in treasuries for the short term and lower your duration because you're clipping a great interest rate right now with taking no risk. But yeah. I do think that, you know, at some level, some of these bonds, we just need some more clarity out of the Fed, and we'll get some of that over the coming weeks, right? November 2nd and November 3rd, we're going to have another meeting. It's projected that we're going to hike 75 basis points. And then the hope there is that we go to 25 or 50 in December. Once the bond market has realized that the Fed is pivoting, bonds are going to skyrocket in price, and the yields are going to drop. And we're already starting to see that play out today.
Okay. And
you had the Bank of England blink 2 weeks ago. Now we're waiting on when does the Fed blink and when do other central banks around the world start to blink and, you know, reverse course.
What do you think? You mentioned the technology, the big technology earnings coming up. Do you think same as usual, or you think there's going to be an outlier here? It's going to be a huge surprise?
No, I think it's going to be pretty much in line. My only concern is you had a really bad release from Snap. And, you know, a lot of the techs got drawn down when Snap released, and that was a really bad number. But I also think that, you know, Snap is a completely different breed of company than your Microsoft, your Googles, your Alphabets, your Amazon. And even, you know, Tesla, you know, they got hit pretty hard yesterday, but that was due to them lowering the price of their car sale in China to, you know, restore demand. So that wasn't taken well by investors. But I do think that you cannot compare every tech company to other tech companies, and some of them will be stronger and have stronger moats around their business. I just, you know, I believe that the best days of tech, at least in the short term, are behind us. Yes, we can get a relief rally because they're the hardest hit names. Some of them are down 60 to 80% year to date, but I don't expect them to, you know, create a new leg and go right into a bull market again. I think that over the next 2 years, there's going to be other sectors that work better than tech.
Manny, okay. It's Damati. Just for a second, because I asked Michael as well. He's not familiar. I just Googled it. Snap. I've heard of it. I just Googled it. Snap is an American camera and social media company founded in 2011. What exactly do they do? Do they own any of these platforms?
Teddy, you're revealing your age. you're revealing your age.
I think so. What is Snap, boys?
It's another form of social media, Teddy. It competes with your Facebook. Think of it as a competitor to Facebook, a competitor to Instagram,
that
social media platform.
And they have their own, I could have a Snap Teddy Dimitriotis page. I didn't even know that.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys are both have a Snap presence?
No, I do not utilize it, but I'm not a believer in that company.
Yeah, Snap was made famous because it automatically deleted the texts or the messages that you put on. So you put a post on Facebook, it stays forever.
Mm-hmm.
Snap created, when it started, it created this concept that you put a picture in and after a while it disappeared.
Oh, is it Snapchat? Snapchat, is that the one? It's the Snapchat?
Yes.
Snapchat is a derivative. It's a way to it's a messaging platform, so people send messages to each other.
I have heard of Snapchat, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Malista.
Yeah, but so, look, we'll see what these tech results are. I think they'll probably benefit the market. I think that we do have some serious tailwinds behind us and not a lot of, announcements coming. One of the things that you had yesterday was PMI, which continued to show that inflation probably has peaked and yields are following suit. So that is going to continue to be the theme in our mind. It's just a matter of at what level does it stay persistent and what does that do to Fed course? Do they stay at a 4.5% nominal rate, which is our belief? And then at what point in 2023 or 2024, assuming things go well, there's no further escalation in Ukraine that leads to price increases in Europe and other parts of the world that would create inflation to be more persistent, at what point do they reverse course? And that's what the market is now starting to sniff out. I think most of that pain is behind us for this year. A lot of people are expecting, in most bear markets, you have a moment of capitulation where stocks severely drop, snap, find a bottom, and then that's when they usually can call a bear market being over. But I don't think you're going to see capitulation this time because this is a completely different bear market than we've had in the past. This is a valuation reset. As we can see from corporations, earnings remain strong, the job market remains strong. Yes, you have some weakness in housing, but even again from an inflation standpoint, rents are dropping month over month like crazy. So that's going to help you on an inflation side alone.
Yeah. Listen, I just want to share with our listening audience before we let you go. There was a post on social media, and everybody knows you now for a couple of years, but I think it's always nice to kind of just, exactly know what your credentials are. Manny Frangidakis is the co-founder and the principal, one of the principals of 12 Points Wealth Management. His interest in global markets and commodities trading led Manny to pursue his Bachelor of Arts in Finance at the old alma mater, Bryant University. Began his career in wealth management after graduating, and in February of 2015, Manny proudly became an accredited investment fiduciary designee, and we want to put an emphasis on that. Manny is an accredited investment fiduciary designee, considered the gold standard, Manny, attaboy, for fiduciary care and financial services industry, currently residing in Boston. We know you, Manny, and we certainly want people to, their hard-earned money, a consultation, it's all free, no commitments needed, but that's what he's here for, to provide a service to our Grecian Echoes listening audience, and I think we've all learned an awful lot about Manny in the couple of years that he's been with us on a weekly basis. So on behalf of the entire community, Manny, once again, a great big thank you for your unwavering support and presenting this great information to all of us.
Well, thank you, Teddy. It's a pleasure to be, affiliated with your station and to be a part of this program.
Yeah. Stamati, any closing comments? And Manny, any tips of the week? What do we got?
Tips of the week, I think that, we continue to hum here, and I think that this equity market can have legs. So, look, I think if you're concerned that we reverse course sometime in the next year, you probably get a really good opportunity, better than none, to rebalance your portfolio at this time. Better to do it now than when the market was down 25-26%. You created a 4% gain over this the last week. It's been a pretty remarkable move.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that for investors that are concerned, it's worth having a conversation. But my only concern on the other end is if this gets away from you, I don't know how you get back in. And that's what we're currently afraid of, is how much legs does this market actually have? Could we go past 4,000? And then if you do, do you offload there and try to reassess in 2023? But then the fear is that the market continues to roll away from you. If you do have a change in policy and a different change in the numbers that we're receiving from data points, how do you get back in?
That's exactly why.
My last question to Manny, on a lighter note, is who is having a worst year? The Dow Jones, Tom Brady, or Bill Belichick?
Ooh, I would have to say Tom Brady.
Yeah. I think I'm going to vote for him.
Tom Brady.
I'm voting for him.
Although I was really disappointed with what they put out as a product yesterday. That was embarrassing. Yeah. And I can't. I think the Patriots just kind of confirmed that they might be a dumpster fire this year. And the rumors are now, do they go ahead and trade like a Matt Judon and, go back to square one for next year, which would be terrible. But you know that teams are calling them this morning asking for his availability as the trade deadline comes up on November 1st. But Tom Brady, you just lost your number one wide receiver in Mike Evans. That offensive line looks like a rotating set of stools. I don't think it gets any better for Brady, and it's sad to see him in this state. Belichick, at the end of the day, is still one win away from tying all-time record in terms of wins, so I think he's doing okay this year.
Well said. Manny Stamati, have yourselves a wonderful wet afternoon. I guess it's going to be nice Thursday, so enjoy that part of the week, and we'll regroup against God willing next Tuesday. Manny Frangidakis, 12 Points Wealth Management, every Tuesday at 11, right here on Grecian Echoes. Bye, gentlemen. Bye-bye.